Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. I think you're going to be really encouraged today with our conversation with Kayla Moody. Kayla's a mom of six, and the Lord just continues to bring her deeper and deeper into loving her city, loving the vulnerable. So I'll let Kayla tell you more about how the Lord's built their family and what they're doing now. Kayla, welcome.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited to be here today. And just such an honor and a privilege to always be able to share about the work that's going on here in Jacksonville.
Oh, Kayla, you're a blessing to me. I've just loved getting to know you. So tell us how the Lord's built this big family of yours and how it all began and how it's going.
Yeah. So my husband and I are high school sweethearts. We met in a rural Kansas community called Eureka, Kansas, and we've been married for 18 years now. Evan is active duty in the military, which is how we ended up in the Jacksonville, Florida area. And oh my gosh, this is so funny. But, you know, we got married young. We started having, you know, our family and this idea of, you know, we'll have our family when we're young. We'll be empty nesters.
Oh, girl. Empty nest.
Yeah. We'll be young empty nesters. This is a fantastic idea.
Right.
And then God called us to foster care and we started all over. And now we're you know, the older parents with the little kids, because best laid plans are, it's always good to bring those to God, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, we, Evan was in school and in training. We bounced around a little bit with the military and we really wanted to do something with foster care and adoption. We really felt called to it, but it, you know, as a military family, that can be challenging. And, cause you need enough time in an area to be able to do the classes and get licensed and also be able to welcome a child into your home and provide stability for them. Which is something that we have to consider if we're saying yes to a child. We need to be able to ideally complete, you know, in foster care, that time with them, whatever that looks like. And so when we got to Jacksonville, we had 3-year orders in hand. I was like, Evan, you know, this is, there's ever a time, it's now. So we got here in June, and by like September, we were talking with foster care agencies and we started our classes that following January. So the Lord has blessed us and extended our time here. And so it's allowed me to kind of dig deeper into foster care here in Jacksonville.
So you have 6 children now in your home?
Yes, we do. You know, I think, and I'm pretty transparent about this. And I think that, it's just kind of a cool way that you see how God builds your family in a way that maybe you did not consider. And so our oldest son was, diagnosed with autism when he was 7. And, you know, there's a process when you go through that and, learning and, you know, researching and how you're going to advocate for this child that God created to be who he is, right? And Evan always says nobody can obsess like you can. So you know, I just poured myself into what that looked like, you know, at that time. But then once we got here and we started talking about what foster care was going to look like for us, we were like, hey, we love autism, like we're comfortable with this at this point, like we've been doing this. We are not experts by any means, but this also doesn't scare us. And, you know, I think that that was just once again, like an amazing opportunity for God to take something that was challenging, something that we had to walk through for a period and really use it to, you know, glorify him and allow us to care for kids that were on the autism spectrum. So that was kind of our, one of our specialties, I guess, while we were actively fostering.
Well, and I know that when you, since you've gotten to stay in your area, North Florida and Northeast Florida, a little longer than what you thought, you've been able to really make a headway with churches, to really kind of go forward in ministry and helping churches get on board, have tools to encourage their foster families, to welcome foster families, to wrap care around them. And you started a ministry called Hope Multiplies. Now, I don't know how, in the midst of your parenting and your husband in active military, you have had the time to do this, because I know that it takes a lot of your love and attention and all that at home, but the Lord's really asked you to do more. And so kind of share with us, if, you know, if someone who thinks, I don't have the time to do this, I know God's put this on my heart, but you did it, Kayla. And so tell us how, if we have such a burden for our city and for vulnerable children in our city and families who are struggling in our city, and we really want to see reunification and we want to see them come to know Christ, tell us why you started Hope Multiplies and kind of how that took off, what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. And once again, just seeing like God's hand in all of this has been, it's been such a beautiful experience. But I see that because I continue to say yes to what He's asking me to do. And that's definitely the right yes for us. Mm-hmm. I do have to say no to other things to just really dive in and focus into this work. But
that's a great point. That's such a great point. You do have to say no to some things to do the main thing God's called you to do, right?
Yeah. And that is very difficult at times, because we have so many opportunities to serve God well in so many different areas. But for me, like, I can do, my family is my priority, my husband, right? And so I really felt like I can do one thing in addition really well.
Yeah.
But that means saying no to several other things that are also, you know, good opportunities. Mm-hmm. But for us, our time here was coming to a close here in Jacksonville. Evan's tour was ending, and they said, you know, you can't stay there. So rank your cities. And you know, at that point, I knew where God needed us. Like, I just fully trusted Him in that. I didn't fret or worry. We put together a list, we prayed over it, and I just said, God, send us where you have more work for us. And it's this beautiful way to serve in the military and kind of allow you to God to use you through that as well. And so they came back several days later and they were like, this is super weird, but we're going to leave you in Jacksonville for another another tour.
Right.
And it was just such an affirmation for my heart, right?
Yes.
I prayed and said, send me where you need me.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was here. So it allowed me to kind of continue to work here and what that was going to look like. And I was helping a friend named Karen Roy lead a large scale foster care ministry in our church called Fostering Hope at that time. And it was growing, and we were seeing so many families in the church that were stepping into foster care on all different levels. It was so beautiful. You just got to see the body of Christ really kind of come up in this process. And then we started reaching out to community families and helping deliver them meals on court days. We were praying for people, and it was this incredible thing that was happening there. And then it kept growing.
Yeah.
And Karen and I finally looked at each other like, this is amazing. But also, you know, this is really the work of the church in our area.
Right? Yes.
And so that was kind of this catalyst for us there at that time to say, okay, we need more churches. This is honestly going to be unsustainable.
Yeah.
And it's not going to serve all of our families here in Northeast Florida well. Because Jacksonville is a very large land-based city. We need more churches in different parts of town that are, you know, equally serving in this way so that people don't have to go far to get the resources and the help that they need from a church. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of where Hope Multiplies grew from. And for the longest time, we pushed back. We were like, no, this is the work of the church. You know, this isn't a nonprofit. We love the church, right?
Yeah.
And, but God really just kind of kept opening doors for us during that time to kind of help us see a bigger picture and a vision for what it could be. And so we did go the nonprofit route. But it's still at the heart, this amazing ministry. And so that's the way it is run.
Well, it's a great,
as a ministry.
It's a great website, hopemultiplies.com. And I love the four, I guess, pillars or the four, the ways you can kind of be, you know, your four goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do talk about establish, learn about your church, the work they're already doing, you know, you help people understand the foster crisis and then how they can, you know, start caring for families who maybe are in a crisis situation, and then to equip families, right? You have your care portals, that sort of thing, and then churches need to engage. But you talk about four other points here that I really want to cover. And the first one is preservation, the preservation of a family, because at the end of the day, foster care is families loving families. And how Amen. Can the church step into preservation?
Yeah. And, you know, I think, and, you know, in Karen and I's conversation in Fostering Hope, there was this very large ministry to foster families, and it was growing. And we were really trying to educate them with, you know, tools and TBRI. You really wanted those quality foster families that could love well. But on the other end of this was biological families or families that were in crisis. And it was like, okay, how do we get here, right? How can we actually do work in this area and maybe prevent kids from coming into the foster care system? And how do we do that as a church? And, you know, so I feel like for us, we've been given some opportunities with Care Portal and partnering with our state agencies and DCF here locally in Florida, which is once again, like God opening doors for us to have this great communication and partnership between the state and the churches here in order to do this work and collaborate together. So, you know, for us, one tool that we use is this technology that says, you know, our caseworkers are boots on the ground.
Yeah, they are.
They're that first line yep. that is discovering what is happening mm-hmm. with our families that are struggling. And, you know, so they're identifying needs, ways to help these families. How do we communicate that to the churches? And so Hope Multiplies kind of helps use Care Portal as a tool to bridge that. And then that allows, just this week, it was an aunt, uncle that we're going to take in, their niece and nephew. And anybody that's been familiar with the foster care system, like if we have a healthy family member as a church, like how can we come alongside them? These kids don't have to lose so much, mm-hmm. right? Especially mm-hmm. we can keep siblings together, which is very important work for the church as well. And so it was a set of bunk beds for that family. They needed bunk beds. Safe sleep is always a requirement for a home for children to get placed in. And a church raised their hand and said, yeah, we can do the bunk beds. And so that's just, we see those opportunities on now a weekly basis here
yeah.
in Florida. And it gives us the opportunity. It's not about the item. It's about a connection with this family because yes, they need this item. They need groceries. They need whatever it is right now. But truly what that family needs is support. They lack a support system. And this allows us as the church to come alongside them and continue to deepen that relationship. And once again, like for us here and what we do, it's all about relationships because that's how Jesus, you know, served and cared for others was through relationships.
Absolutely. You know, just recently you were talking about, you know, preserving the family, and just a friend of ours who was doing a Saturday Love Your City event at our church realized that there was a non-English speaking mom who had, you know, who had a really good job, hardworking, but she's raising five children on her own, but her car was about to break down and she needed tires. Well, that was really, Kayla, that was the step, you know, that was what she needed at the time so that she could keep her family together, so she could keep getting to her job. And that is something that the church can step in and do, and then keep, you know, loving them and caring for them and getting to know them, you know, like, would you all like a pizza night, or can we bring groceries by? Anything to keep that family together. And so preservation, I just love that you talk about that on your website, and that's what you're engaging the church to continue to work at, is family preservation, because it is loving families.
It is, right? And I feel like we have been so adoption minded in the past, and I obviously love adoption and what that looks like in the gospel and what Jesus did for us. But also, it can exist in this. God created the family.
Yes.
And he created those to be together and remain intact. Yeah. So how can the church do work in that preservation, you know, field as well?
And this topic is growing. Churches are beginning to realize this. I hear it a lot more now. How can we help families stay together? You also talk about intervention. You know, sometimes that's necessary. Talk to us about that step in this process.
Yeah. You know, preservation and intervention, it all has the goal of making sure that a child has a safe and loving home.
Yeah.
And sometimes our preservation efforts are not enough to maintain a safe home for a child. And so at times they do enter in the foster care system to make sure that they are safe and that their needs are being met. And, you know, in that intervention piece, what we have discovered, and there's now research and data to prove it, is that foster families always, it's the same thing. They have this, they're isolated and they're lonely. And it's, you welcome in siblings, or, you know, it changes your family dynamic. There's just so much that goes on in this process. And nationally, about 50% of our foster families will not foster after the first year.
Yeah, they just get weary.
Yeah, it is. It's such a weary, weary path. And you know, so how can, once again, the church enter into this space and make an impact in order to see kids, right? We don't want kids bouncing from home to home to home. It is trauma after trauma after trauma for them as well. So how can we come alongside families that are doing this incredible work in a way to care for the child that is in their home, and also the family, in this very beautiful and holistic approach? And what we're seeing is families that are supported and cared for by a church will foster, well past that year mark at a 90% rate.
Yeah, it's incredible how the percentage of staying in this, you know, goes up when they have support. And then and that leads us, you know, to, you talk about connection, and that's all part of that. That's just critical for the child's well-being, for the first family's well-being, for the foster family's well-being, is to keep connection. And, you know, the church's prayer, like you have said so many times, is that the family is reunited. Right? That the child and their family are reunited. But we've got to keep connection at every level.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's the part that you really see the church be able to make an impact. These kids are coming in, you know, into our churches, and we can love them well on so many different levels, to where if they do go home, you know, they have had a positive experience with church. They've had an encounter with Jesus.
Ultimately. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and what a privilege, once again, to be able to love them and their families in that season. But in this incredibly hard work, it takes all of us in the church, right? We're all called to care for the orphan, the vulnerable in our community. That isn't a suggestion.
Yeah.
It's for all of us. Now, it looks different for all of us. And
right.
I feel like, you know, we kind of, in this work, we've set the standard that it's foster care or adoption, right? And that's this amazing way to make an impact. And that is true. But there are so many different levels that we can enter in wherever God calls us to do this work. And each of them are so vital
yes.
to this calling. And so, you know, our volunteers that are dropping off meals on really hard days, they're sending cards of encouragement at the perfect time, like only God knows. And they're praying and they're holding these families so, so dear. I always tell them the same thing, because they don't feel like that work is as important as a foster parent. And if you ask a foster parent, they're going to wholeheartedly disagree with you, right?
Like, yes.
And so the way that we always explain it is such a simple way, and it's your yes allows them to keep saying yes.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with that, like, just the impact that we can all make, you know, if God is calling you to be a prayer warrior for these families, like, let's really talk about what that looks like. Can we formalize a prayer group? Can we set aside time each week and say, this matters for our community, you know, and we're going to set aside this time. If it's cards, if it's meals, if it's babysitting, right? If it's respite, like, all of those come together and allow everybody to do this important work. And then, you know, this child is loved and safe and secure in this home. And that is the beauty of everybody doing this work together.
That's right.
And it has a lasting impact. And kind of what we're seeing from churches that have been doing this for a while is people say yes to what God calls them to. He grows them in that season. And then he calls them to something, another level.
Yeah.
And I feel like for us, that's definitely, you know, where we have gotten to. I never envisioned, you know, being a nonprofit leader. That was never what my heart was in this. It was, you know, there's one child that we brought you to, that God has called us to Jacksonville, Florida, that we can love for the season that we're here. And then God said, no, you're going to stay here. Mm. I've got some more work for you. Okay, God, what does that look like? And, you know, you step into that, and now we're having great conversations with churches that are doing amazing work here. And that's the thing for us. Like, we get to come alongside churches. They're already doing work. We just get to kind of give them a few extra resources and kind of equip them to really and collaborate with other churches,
yes,
in our community, to where we get to see the church, like, working so well together, which is what God has ultimately called the church to do.
Absolutely. So one church will be heavy or really good at this area, and they may need a little help from, you know, in another area. And I've just seen churches with different personalities and come together and be able to equip one another to serve one another's families.
I know. It's just this amazing. And that's what God asks us to do,
yes,
and work together. There's this is another, like, phrase that I love, and you'll hear me say it all the time. There's no competition in orphan care.
No, no.
So, you know, every church that says yes to whatever God is asking them to work in, like, I praise God for that. If you are a church with 30 people and God is asking you to, you know, serve one foster family in the community, praise God. Praise God for you stepping in and serving in this way. If you're a mega church and you're going to call up and raise up 75 foster families, praise God, right? Like, we all have some work to do here.
Yeah, your mission statement says it all, that you want to mobilize the church to actively serve the child welfare system and to be the bridge between every, you know, if someone feels called into this, God's calling us to be the bridge between the local agencies and churches to get those needs out there and to wrap care around these families, the family, you know, the family that maybe their children have been removed, to the family that's going to, for a short season or a long season, take their children in, and how we can support and love one another, and the church can step in. And then the final thing you talk about on your website, I love, is every child needs permanence, right? They all,
yes,
need a permanent place to say, this is where I belong. This is where I'm going to, you know, grow. And no government agency, no group home can take the place of a family.
Absolutely. You know, and that's that, God set the lonely in, mm-hmm, families, right? And it's Promise 686, it's their, like, that's their verse,
yes,
and their heart. And I absolutely love the mission, you know, that they're on, and getting to partner with them in this as well. But it's this, you know, permanency is always the goal.
Yeah.
And whether it's getting these kids safely back home with families that we can continue to support and love on and continue to share who Jesus is, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we live in a world that that's just not always.
That's right.
The option. We live in this fallen world. So these kids need a forever home, and they need somebody to say, yes, you are so loved and you are worthy. And, you know, and that's when the adoption and the foster care system comes in. It's never the first goal, but we do have kids that will need adoption in this process, and how the church steps in and engages there, because these kids have been, gosh, they've been in the foster care system sometimes 2 years, 3 years, right? And mm-hmm. They don't have a sense of, this is what my forever looks like.
Right.
And I don't want to get emotional, but that, like, boy, that, if that doesn't stir your heart, right? Yeah. Your child doesn't know what tomorrow.
No, they just lost that ability to hope for a future.
Yeah. And so, you know, the church coming in and raising up families that can say yes in those scenarios as well, and then continue to support them in that work. Because that's one thing, like, at times on the adoption side of foster care, it's like there's almost this mindset like, oh, wow, the work is done, right?
Yeah.
And every foster family that's ever adopted will tell you, oh, no, this is just beginning.
It's just beginning. Because that's right.
This is a new concept, a new, you know, idea for this child, that this is forever.
Right.
And there's some broken bonds and there's some healing
yes.
that needs to begin. And the church, once again, like, don't miss out on your adoptive families in your church. Check in on them.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a really good job as adoptive families. We're looking like we've got it all together.
Yeah.
for years, when we're dealing with deep seated traumas
yes.
in our home with kids, and this is, you know, international foster care, any kind of adoption, domestic babies that are adopted domestically that have experienced trauma from, you know, just birth and adoption. And so don't miss our adoptive families
yeah.
and the important work that they're doing. Check in.
Yeah. Check in on those adoptive families too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I know there were so many seasons that just to see a friend come in with a casserole dish. And I will tell you, it happened to me one time on Thanksgiving Day. I remember getting out of the hospital with one of ours and thinking, I didn't plan for Thanksgiving, you know, and it's just, we were in a tough season, but to see a neighbor walk in with a few dishes, it was a game changer for us that she saw us, you know,
and that
it was just so encouraging.
Yeah. And that is the beauty in this, right? If we understand that the fear is, or that foster and adoptive families are saying, I'm lonely and I'm isolated, what is the church's answer and response to that? And it's so simple. It is seeing them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And them being vulnerable and the church saying, hey, like, how can we do this? Right? And this is one thing that I've always found fascinating in this work. We say servant-hearted people are difficult to serve.
Oh, impossible.
So, yeah. You know, and our foster families, they're the best at always being okay. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're good. But I know I walk this, like, I know you're not. It normally it takes me about 4 minutes in a conversation to be able to dive deeper to know we're not good. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if we as foster and adoptive families are always good, thank you for the offer for a meal. We're good. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gives us, I always tell them, and I joke when I go in and I help, train up, in, I get the privilege to go in and on their graduation day, some foster parent classes, and share with them this. We practice saying yes for them,
yes.
accepting help, which we all laugh about it, but there's a lot of truth there,
yeah,
right?
There
they
is.
Are not used to accepting help. They've been serving and pouring into other people, and now they're going to serve and pour into these families. But I tell them the same thing, and it's such a beautiful thing. You know, you are allowing other people to do this work with you wherever God is asking them to do it now.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
say yes to the casserole.
Yes, exactly.
Say yes to the babysitting, right?
Yes.
Like, it's okay to say yes.
Well, I tell
you, it's okay to admit you need help, right?
And yes, it is okay if you need help, because we all will need help. That's the way God's made us. He's built us for community. And sometimes when we get to the end of ourselves, God makes us need community, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to this podcast and you're like, you know, I'd like to love my city. I'd like to love families that are doing this ministry in my city, or I want to start fostering, or I just want to find a family and help them. I encourage you to check out hopemultiplies.com. Kayla, you've done a great job with this. You have some amazing resources, and I know that you are willing to help other people get this started in their area.
You know, my biggest prayer in all of this is that God will once again make a connection with
yes.
somebody in the community that says, you know, I feel like this is what God is calling me to. But once again, I have no idea where to begin. And it's like, hey, if God can use me, because that's where we all have been at some point. And, you know, I really feel like foster and adoptive parents, they are wonderful at stepping into this next role when God calls them into that season, because you've done the work and you understand it. You can connect with people in it. And so you understand the needs. So yes, you know, my contact information is on the website. Email me, call me, whatever. 10 o'clock at night, I'm awake. So
thank you, friend. Thank you so yeah. much. And I'm just so grateful our paths have crossed, and we just hope to see this continue to grow.
Awesome. Thank you so much for this time today.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.